The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. So in the song that you chose,
a reading from Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet he cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your promise plainly, O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave all your trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that popular culture influences people's perceptions of God. There are movies that I can think of, Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty, The Matrix. Last night I was watching a movie called Phenomenon. But it's not like all of these influencers, they're overt. Some are more subtle, and they creep in and distort our image of God. These are images, advertising, even our economic systems, and And they distort them even in the Christian church, and they distort even how us Christians view God and even interpret the Bible. Pastor Karen, she inspired me a couple weeks ago. So she had an object lesson to give everyone. I have an object lesson today too. So one of our popular conceptions that we have of God is that God is like this free gumball machine. All we have to do is approach it, tell it what we need, turn the dial, and bam, we get what we need. It's very simple. Another version of this is the genie in the bottle. You just rub it, and out comes three wishes. And God is obligated to do it because you asked for it. I mean, even in our verses today, it says, ask and you shall receive, right? But for some people, it takes a little more work. For some people, believe that you have to do a little bit more. You have to say the right combination of prayers. You have to get on your knees. And even then, you won't get what you want right away. It's going to take perseverance. So, some people believe that God is more like this claw machine. And what you do is you put in the quarter. You have to move it around. You have to move around this claw. And it takes a little more skill and perseverance and persistence. And, you know, over time, through perseverance, you'll eventually get what you want. After all, the text this week does say, because of the annoying neighbor, because of his persistence and his perseverance, the neighbor got up and gave him bread, right? Persistence got the man what he wanted. And all we have to do is be persistent in prayer, and we'll get what we want. But that's not the true God. We also try to strike bargains with God. I'll pray this much if you give me this. There's a scene in the movie Amadeus, in which the renowned Viennese composer Antonio Salieri, as a boy, he kneels before a crucifix. And he strikes a bargain with God. Lord, make me a great composer, Salieri says. Let me celebrate your glory through music, and let me be celebrated myself. Make me famous throughout the whole world, dear God. Make me immortal. But what does God get for this favor? Salieri says, in return, I vow to give you my chastity, my industry, my deepest humility, every hour of my life. And I will help my man as much as I can. What happened to him? If anybody remembers the movie, at the end of his life, he ended up bitter, and he was mad at God, and he was mad at himself. Now, you might be tempted to say, wait a minute, Josh. We read from Genesis today, Abraham bargaining with God. I hope to get that in a minute. We could just put that on the table for a second. The problem is that all these images, they're false images of God. We try to manipulate God in such a way that it looks like the true God, even by using Bible text, like I said. But these gods aren't real. They are creations of our own mind. They're projections of our desires, rather than the God that we have in Jesus Christ. In each of these versions of God, we treat God like objects for our use, but God is a person with whom we have a relationship with. And inevitably, these gods will fail us. We find ourselves distraught and confused, wondering why our persistence didn't pay off. We find that we don't even know how to pray. When we stop seeing God as a God for our use, we can realize that it's always been about relationship. Today's text is about persistence in prayer, but there's a difference in persisting in treating God like an object rather than a person who we have a relationship with. These are idols and idols are just objects. So I'll get back to the Abraham story now. What we didn't read today is that before the interaction between God and Abraham happened, God sort of has a conversation with himself. He says, should I go to Abraham and tell him what I'm going to do? And he does. God goes to Abraham because God is in relationship with him. And Abraham heard God's plans and it worried him. And so he appealed to God's compassion. He appealed to God's good nature. He wasn't trying to bargain for selfish reasons. He was appealing to God's goodness. In today's text, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And guess what? Jesus does. John taught his disciples how to address God, but there was a big difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. In our version, reading from Colossians today, it says, for in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily. I think that's just an elongated way of saying that Jesus was God. And because God wants to be in relationship with us, God teaches us how to pray. God teaches us how to be in relationship with God's self. The first petition is this, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Did anybody here have to memorize the catechism, Luther's small catechism as a child? Does anybody remember the first petition? What Luther says? It says, with these words, God wants to entice us so that we come to believe he is truly our Father and we are his children, in order that we may ask him boldly, with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving father. It's about relationship. And this relationship is about telling God everything. It's about telling God things from your most complex issues in your life to the most mundane things. I have a nephew, it's Caleb, he's 2 years old, and when he prays at night, he ends the prayer almost nightly with this. He says, God, thank you for cucumbers. Amen. He's grateful for cucumbers, and he wants to thank God for them. God wants, being in relationship with God means that we can tell God anything. And since we have this relationship with God as our Father, we can ask for the desires of our heart. And God will not refuse us any more than an annoying neighbor. But our relationship with God is more than a neighborly one. We're in God's house. And we can come to God confidently, like a child goes to her parents. And in the gospel readings today, Jesus, he even expands the metaphor even more. Is there any among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, you would give a scorpion? The answer is, of course not. No parent would do that. That's why Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, search and you'll find, and knock and it'll be open to you. Our God in heaven is like a father who wants to give us only good things. God is not an object where all we have to do is pull the lever to get what we want. And the best thing of all, God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's how the readings end today. They start with us approaching God like a father and end up saying that God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. The reason that relationship is so important, as opposed to treating God like a machine, is there are times when we don't even know what to pray. There are times when we hear news that somebody's died. There are times where we hear that people have relapsed from addiction, that a family member's in the hospital. And for these things, we don't even know how to pray. All we can do is cry and weep. There are times when all we have are deep sighs and groans. I remember receiving a call one morning, and I learned that my cousin had died. And all I could do was, I didn't even have the words to say. The Apostle Paul writes, "We groan inwardly as we wait for adoption. We groan and wait for the day when God will stop the evil in the world and redeem us all. We groan for those who are in need." But God does not leave us alone. The Holy Spirit inside of us helps us. Paul writes, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes with groans and sighs too deep for words." In our distress, God sighs and groans with us. The God of the machine could never do that. Miroslav Volf writes, "On the cross, God is not setting up the terms of a contract that fulfill human need in order to get what we want. Neither is God saying, 'On the cross, I died for you, now you have to do everything I tell you.' God's goods are not for sale. You can't buy them with money or good deeds. God doesn't make deals. I would add that God is not like a machine or the claw machine. God is a giver because God wants to be in relationship with us. And it's great because the God who wants to be in relationship with us has provided the means to be in relationship with us. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be united with God. Through God's grace, we have been given faith in Jesus. And it started in baptism when we were given the Holy Spirit. Jesus has also promised to be with us in the bread and in the wine. The God who wants to be in relationship with us has done everything. Just receive it. The God who wants to be in relationship with us has done everything. Just receive it. Amen.